Welcome to Chapi and Chapeau's podcast. We are coming to you from Brooklyn and Tribeca. And this will be our last podcast for the Survivor season of One World. So we're pretty excited about discussing the last episode and the finale. We have some good stuff coming up. So before we start, I want to know, Chapi, what's been going on with you after Survivor? I mean, how are you feeling? Are you feeling a little bit sad, or are you happy? You know, what's the deal?
Not something specific. I'm not sad or happy, you know, it's just a show. Are you asking me if I'm mentally ill?
Pretty much.
Well, listen. Maybe if I were mentally ill, I would be devastated that my Survivor friends, my only friends, are not gone. But I saw on Twitter the other day that you, Chapi, were asking people what about the Survivor now and what are they doing now? So what prompted you from asking this question? I was kind of surprised.
Well, I was thinking about... Well, just so you all know, Chapeau and I went to see the survivors at their hotel in New York. And, you know, they were walking into the hotel like they were superstars, you know, getting out of cabs and being loud. And they were just on top of the world. And I was wondering, you know, a few days later, why, like, what are they doing now? Because their time, I mean, is pretty much over. I mean, from now on, it can only go downhill. That just seems to be how it goes after you go on Survivor. So that's why I was just wondering, what do they do now? It must be so depressing to go back to their daily lives, and, you know, they might think that something will come of this, but probably won't. So that has to be tough on them, because it was just so... It was almost a little sad to see them congregating in their hotel and just thinking that they're celebrities, basically, and the way they were acting at the bar. But, you know, now it's over, so... What do you think they're doing? Do you think they're doing anything special? Chapeau?
No, not at all. It's true what you say. I mean, it's one of the... But I think it's also why we like the show so much, because everything is condensed in a very, very short time. You know, you meet people, you fall for them or you hate them, and then it's over, and you never see them again. It's a little bit like an allegory of life, basically, that game. You meet them, you fall for them, you're happy, you're mad with them, and then they die. Because one thing that Survivor fans know is that once the show is over, not only you forget about them, unless a few rare exceptions, but most of the time, you would never hear from them again unless they go to jail, which some of them do sometimes. But other than for them to do the news in some kind of criminal fashion, they are completely gone. So it's a little bit the story of life, an allegory of life, this shows, this game, Survivor, and the relationship we have with each other, but in a much more condensed period. And I think that's why some people are getting so fanatical about the game. And in our lives, we meet people, we like them, and then they walk away from our life, and usually we never see them again. No? Am I deranged to see life that way? I mean, that's my life I'm talking about. Maybe some people, you know, they grew up in a small town, and they die in a small town, and they meet people that they knew in high school on Facebook, and they stay a friend for the rest of their lives. But I doubt that, you know, people fall out of sight. What do you think, Shabby? Are you of this opinion, or diversion opinion, or?
I do believe that people are coming in and out of your life very quickly. You know, it's always like that. I feel like you meet people, you like them, and then, you know, something happens, they move away, or they go to a different school, things like that, and it's just kind of it. Like, you don't really hear from them anymore, because people have different lives, and I guess it's hard to keep up if you're far away, and you don't see each other every day, so, you know, we're all just always moving on, I feel, and it's sad, but it's just how it is, so, yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's also, you know, the way you fall out of sight with your family members, you know, like, you don't necessarily, when you grow up, spend all minute with your family, you know, you meet them at holidays and things, but once you go your separate ways, people don't want to admit that, but, you know, when you move out of the family house, or even when you are not with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, I know, Shapi, since you are gay, that we can talk about girlfriends, you know, but you when you break up with your girlfriends, you don't see them again. I mean, you don't go have coffee with your 10x girlfriend every morning. Because I don't know if you guys know, but Shabby is very active on the Lesbo circuit. So, now, Shabby, I wanted to ask you a specific question. It is true that we spy on them on Sunday night in New York City. So you came over to Manhattan, Shabby, which is a rare occasion. Cross that bridge with your clog. And so my question to you is, any, you as a lesbo, any particular survivors that we saw in, I mean, my question is more like, how was it to see them in real life? What the Shapi didn't tell you, because she's a bit depressed, is that, okay, let's say it. Shapi works for CBS. Here you go. We can put it out of the bag. And so we met the survivor on Saturday night. Let's be real there for a minute. So I want to know if there was anyone in particular that, any girl that you thought was cute, any boy. What about your crush, Troy? And I mean, I think our listeners have a lot of questions for you, because, what, did you have a crush on Troy Zen when you saw him? I mean, you know, what you guys must know too is that we were, Shapi and myself, Shampoo, very, very obvious while we were spying on the survivors in the lobby of the hotel, and we were just like two weirdos standing there. There's nothing to do, not even a drink, because we don't really drink, we're total losers. And it was just weird. Like, you know, looking at them, staring, pretending that we didn't stare, of course, which was even more pathetic. But we observe a lot. And Shapi, do you have any suggestion or any opinion regarding some kind of, you know, observation or ideas regarding that batch of survivor, that quadre of survivor, one word, after we spy on them for so long, because we were there Saturday, we were there Sunday, I mean, come on.
Okay, so we saw, since you asked me about my crushes, we saw Chorzan, and yeah, I mean, I'm not full-fledged lesbian, but I am definitely bisexual. So when I saw Chorzan, you know, I thought he was cute, and I was trying to ignore this like pink shirt he was wearing, and but you know, it's kind of hard to ignore it because it's so out there and just so disappointing, but what can you do? I don't really like any of the other guys at all. And for the girls, I didn't really like any of them, so, you know, you don't really have any hotties out there, so, that kind of sucks, so, yeah, and then, as far as observations go, I observed that, what's her name? Nina was there, and she looked so different than how she appeared on the show. Like, she really cleaned herself up. It was so weird. Like, I don't know. But she looked completely different, and she looked good, I guess. So, it was just very strange. But, yeah, any observations from you, Shepa?
Well, we saw live Kim's smile when she was signing autograph to some kids. She gave them like a full piano smile, you know, completely fake, like she just sold a Chevrolet for the price of a Cadillac, you know what I mean? And she was wearing shorts with leopard prints. It was like a display of Middle Western flyover boring people. The whole lobby was, it's already a mid-America hotel lobby, you know, it's only like tourists go there. And they fly to New York City, they stay in the Times Square area. The hotel was in the Times Square area. And they just, they think that's New York. People are so dumb. So they blended perfectly in that crowd of, you know, Midwesterner hacks. You know what I mean? And the way they all dressed was pathetic. It's like they just, when we saw them on Sundays, they were just coming from the finale at the Ed Sullivan Theater, where it is taped. And they all looked like they came from a prom. They had those ridiculous prommy Jesse Penny idea of a nice looking dress type, you know. So, no, we noticed that Alicia on Saturday night was completely wasted, and she was sitting on that fat fuck, what's his name, Colton's lap. He was fat. He got so obese. Ugh, what a disgrace. So, I mean, I shouldn't talk because I'm myself quite obese, but come on. There was a time where, Chappy, you went to the bathroom and I kind of wobbled around to follow you. Not to peek-a-boo in the stall, but just to, you know, accompany you, to stop staring, let's say, for a few minutes. And who do I see? Leaf. The little person was coming there. He looks sad, and I don't know. I wanted to talk to him because I think he got a lot of bad press from all those horrible podcaster, you know, all of them. Oh, those podcasts is just a torpid of white trashness. And basically, he was all by himself going to the bathroom. And for some reason, I wanted to talk to him for a minute while you were in the loo. But I thought otherwise, because I was like, what am I going to talk to that guy about, you know? But I wanted to compliment him a little bit, because I do believe that he had a huge disadvantage just on a pure physical level, and he really gave it all. And I think what happened is, he seemed like a nice dude, and he just got a little bit maybe overwhelmed by the nastiness that was unfolding in front of him. You have to admit that this season was probably one of the nastiest season ever of the show Survivor. Okay, but you asked me another question. What else did I observe? Observe that I gotta give you a quick roundup. I observe, okay, here's what I observe, and please tell our audience the same, go case by case, Chappy, because I thought your observation earlier were pretty vague. So I observe Jay, and I thought that he's a very good looking dude, but he has this terribly vacant, dumb look on his face, so that was not too nice. I observe that Troy Zen on Sunday night look very, very like a movie star. Like people were talking to him, and it was like, as he was walking away from them, he was saying to them, you know, his body half turned to them, yeah, call me, call me. But he would not walk away. He would stay near them as to enjoy every drop of his fame, you know, like that strange move. Usually when people are very in a hurry or they have a better place to go, they just walk away and they turn around halfway and they go, hey, call me later. But he was just people trying to talk to him, and that's what he was trying to do. And he didn't have a girlfriend. We didn't observe a girlfriend, but he was just this, like, egomaniac, egotist, pathetic figure. And he's taller in real life than you think on the show. And I also observed that he wasn't mingling with the rest of the people at the bar, the rest of the survivor. There was some kind of apartheid going on. I noticed that Jay and Chorzen were very much together. They crossed the street. They went to the deli across the street to buy some food. Chorzen and that woman was a football player or whatever, and Kat came out of a cab. Is that what you observe, Chappy? So they hang out Saturday night together. Apparently they went to see Bill play as a stand-up comedian in a club in New York City. But I noticed that Mike had a new girlfriend, which was a complete white trash. Colton was obese, pretty subdued. He wasn't like making a big scene, but completely obese. He put on so much weight. And Christina was very strange. She looked like a robot, and she was staring and smiling, but her face was frozen. And who else? Oh, Chelsea. Chelsea was wearing that stupid, idiotic looking prom dress thing, which is a beautiful butt. We saw her butt. It was pretty nice. You could see through the dress. And she put on a little weight too, I guess. We already said Alicia on Saturday Night was completely plastered, very trashy, very vulgar, of course, but you know that. And who else have we seen? The big bimbo, what's his name? Matt. He's a good-looking dude, but he seemed to be completely out of it. And Sabrina has enormous legs. She has a beautiful face, but enormous legs. And anyway, the people we observed that really hanged out together was Matt, Mike, Alicia, Colton, Leaf. But we observed, too, that a lot of people stay in their rooms on Saturday night. So this is a little bit my side of the observation. What about you, Shappy? Any more observation you can share with our extraordinary listeners?
Well, when Troyzan showed up, and her name is Monica, who was there with the, her husband is like an ex-NFL player, something like that. They were with Troyzan and Kat. They came out of the cab. Kat was the one who was like really yelling and screaming like, I'm here, blah, blah, blah. Being loud and just making a whole scene. So I observed them as they walked in, and then we noticed that Kat and Alicia went upstairs with Jay for about like a half hour. And then Jay came back down and Alicia, but Kat stayed up there. I don't know why, but what else did I see? I saw, oh, in the beginning when we were observing, everyone was standing at the bar at that point, and Colton was talking to Matt and Mike and a bunch of those guys, and they seemed pretty civil. But I also noticed that once Troyzan and Kat came in, there was kind of a rift in between the group. So Alicia and Colton were in one area, and then the rest of them were in another area. So I thought that was weird. Like, maybe some people still don't like Colton. You know, you never know, because he was just really out of line with what he said, and so. But I think that's pretty much all I observed. So, chapeau, did you have any crushes on any of the survivors that we saw?
No, I do believe that the men look better. Like, Matt looked very good, Jay looked very good, but Jay looked pretty stupid. I didn't find in real life, Chelsea, who was probably the most beautiful girl on Survivor this season, was very short and very petite. I mean, and a mother who accompanied her had a huge picture of her daughter on her lapel, like a pin. Who does that? Maybe she thought that Chelsea would get a vote. She didn't get even one vote. Kind of sad. And one thing we could mention is that conspicuously absent of the White Trash Saturday festivities were Sabrina, Chelsea, and Kim. They did not partake with any of those White Trash downstairs, and they just must have stayed up in their rooms or something. To the point that we thought that the final three or four was staying in another hotel. But we know now that they were all staying in the same hotel. So it is very, very strange. They didn't want to mingle. Maybe they were very nervous, you know. And maybe they had to talk to production because Jeff the next day would ask them more questions than the others, maybe. Which, in fact, didn't really happen in the reunion on Sunday night. But those are my little observations. I don't know. I can't really have a crush on those girls because they were so Midwestern and tacky and, you know, small town. They were very small town. What do you think, Shappi?
Yeah, of course they're small town. I mean, they're... that Chelsea's accent doesn't help, really. But, I mean, Sabrina is not that small town. She comes from New York. She's the only one, and I'm pretty sure. But, yeah, the rest of them are, like, especially Chelsea and Kim and, what's her name? Christina. But, yeah, Alicia comes from Chicago. It's not that small town. But you know what? It's just the way they act is small town. I think that's what you meant. But, yeah, it's just so annoying to see Alicia just running around. She was wearing this weird headdress thing on her head, like, I don't even know. I just didn't even want to think about it, so. It's just an experience I'll always remember. Because it's kind of weird to see them in the flesh. Let's see how fat they've gotten. Did you like seeing them in person?
Maybe on Saturday it was fun. By Sunday, not so much. I mean, for some reason, I don't know why, but I think I lost a little bit interest in the show Survivor. I don't know where it stands. I don't know if the show is getting old now or very repetitive, same bullshit all the time. And I also believe that the editing is killing that show. You know, they're trying to make you believe that a big move is going to happen next week, but pretty much what we foresaw that Kim would pick them one by one is exactly what happened. I mean, to the letter, I would say. Or is it that show is inherently dangerously boring because it has at its core the possibility that four people would stick together and pick everybody one by one. If they have a good leader, or if they are very cohesive. And if that's the case, the show has no interest, because we watch the show to see who people really are once they have to manipulate and backstab for $1 million. Like, greed is an extremely good way to reveal the true personality of someone, because, you know, some people would go very far, some people would restrain themselves, and I don't know. It seems to me that greed and fame, because I don't think the people on the show Survivor are there for the $1 million. I think they are there for airtime. I don't believe anyone is a right man would go through that to get $1 million. That seems like a kooky idea, especially if you have any brain in your head, you realize that this show is the success of playing the game, the winning the game, rests on a lot of luck. You know, there's a lot of tribe swipes, there's a lot of factors that you cannot control that would lead you or not to the top. And therefore, to enter that game with the idea that you're going to win $1 million, or the will even so, is preposterous, really. So, I don't know. I just, it's interesting that we're tipping this a few days after the finale, because Survivor is a bit like porn. It's a lot of fun while you watch it. You're very excited for the next scene. But once your hands are covered with that goo, you just want to kill yourself. You know, there is like this state of absolute disgust that people feel. Don't you think, Shappy?
I don't think that's true. I like watching the show, and I always look forward to the next episode, and, you know, secretly. So, yeah, I mean, the thing is that I only started watching the show last season. So this is all new to me, and I like it, and I'm looking forward to the next season, so, yeah.
So what do you make, Shappy, of the fact that Kim stayed true to her main lieutenant, Sabrina and Chelsea, till the end, and she got rid of Christina and Alicia? Was it a smart move? But more importantly, don't you think that Alicia really shot herself in the face by getting rid of Tarzan? I mean, next thing you know, she was gone. What an idiot. I can't believe that she bought into Kim argument. It almost looked like it was written by the producer, because who would do that? You know, who would give away their numbers? As you remember, she had a firm grip on Tarzan's vote and Christina's vote, and she should not have bulged. And Kim was ready, which is amazing, by the way, to vote Chelsea out, remember? So what do you think of what happened? Any surprises? What were your thoughts?
I thought that, yeah, of course Alicia shot herself in the foot when she voted out Tarzan. I mean, that was like, that was half of her, basically one of, you know, her minions. So it was really a dumb move. And I really wasn't, I think Kim's decision to bring Sabrina and Chelsea was obviously strategy. I think she wanted people to think that she was doing it out of the goodness of her heart, but it was just strategy. She admitted she knew she could win against Sabrina. She did think that Chelsea was competition, but you know what? No one voted for Chelsea, because from, you know, what I've heard, Chelsea was mean throughout the competition, and yes, we've seen that on TV too, but I don't think we've seen the worst of it because of editing and this and that, but no one likes Chelsea, so I really wasn't that surprised when Kim won, because I knew in the end everyone would just focus on Kim's gameplay and not put their emotions into it, which I understand, it's fine, but, you know, people have a weird way of twisting how they were mistreated into something good, like, because Kim voted them out, they kind of accept it, and they say, oh, you know what, it was my fault, and she's the best player ever. But, I mean, I guess in a sense, that's true, but it's just, I really didn't want Kim to win, and I was kind of hoping that Kat would turn everyone against her once she got into the jury, but of course not. So, yeah. What do you think about that final three?
I think it was despicable. But I want to go back to what you just said, because I could not agree more. I mean, that is something that I do not understand. How someone has betrayed you, and if you are a survivor, let's say, and someone votes you out, I mean, how could you not take that personally? I mean, you know, there was a way, it's competition. Come on, it's not competition. Most of those players could not find their way, you know, out of their own house. I mean, they were so bad in the competition. We didn't have like a very good athlete in this season at all. But what I don't understand is, compared to what you were saying earlier, I completely agree with you. To go back to what you're saying, sorry, I don't want to compare. I don't have anything to compare. I was just, you know, making a mistake. But I do believe that it is mind-blowing that someone would have been spat upon, kicked out of a game that could basically change your life, you know? Forget about winning the $1 million, but you could very well, you know, if you arrive second, I think you win $100,000, something like that. I mean, you know, you win more the later you stay on the game. So it is a direct, you know, this, if you want. And how could someone like that know, because by the time they hit Ponderosa, they know who voted them out and who was manipulating everything, and they know it's him. The mystery is out of the box. So not only there was no rebellion against that lunatic Kim, but on top of it, they voted for her to get $1 million. It's like, okay, someone fucked me in the ass and then made me suck my own dick, and I'm gonna give them a muffin. No muffin. Do you know what I mean? So that is something that I notice in a lot of people's behavior in my life, where the more they are spat upon, the more they have respect for you. And that is blowing me up. I think that those people should have voted for anybody, and they're forced to vote, which is another thing that I find disgusting. That's why this game is so stupid. You should have the right to put a blank paper. It would be very interesting, because what if everybody vote blank, therefore nobody wins $1 million? You know, like, I think that forcing people to vote is disgusting, and the bottom line is that they should have voted for maybe Sabrina. Sabrina didn't do squat. Chelsea, anyone but Kim. I don't like the idea of sponmanship. Oh, I mean, I would never, if that can't vote me out, and I know at Ponderosa when I, you know, cross-reference everybody's diary, if you want, that Kim is responsible for it. Over my dead body, I vote for her. You know what I mean? What is this type of passive, aggressive, disgusting behavior? What do you think, Chapi Chapeau?
Well, yeah, I think you're right when you said that, what did you say? When you said that they should put a blank piece of paper, I think that's a great idea. I mean, there are some people that just don't deserve to win this game, so it would be better if they could have more options, and yes, it would make the game so much more interesting, so I don't understand why they don't do that. It's just mind-blowing, so yeah. So, right now we're watching the episode, and they're at the part where they have to visit their fallen survivors, so I always hate this part. It's so lame, because they have to go around, and they have to say, they should, like, force themselves to say something nice about the person, and it's just not genuine at all. It's just, in my opinion, the biggest waste of time. I don't know what you're thinking about it, though, Chapeau.
I completely disagree. It's one of my favorite moments in Survivor because it's so sad, you know. I get very nostalgic because we accompany those people in their journey, and you know, it's the last goodbye. So I think it's fun. Like, the game is finally over, which for me is always a sad day in America. You know what I mean? I don't give a shit about people losing their houses. I don't want Survivor to end, you know? So, yeah. That should be on the front page of the New York Times. You know? First column. Who was evicted yesterday from Survivor? It was admitted. It's much more important for us than what's going on in Syria, no? Or, Shapi, do you care more about Assad in Syria, or you care more about Survivor? Tell us the truth.
I care more about Survivor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, Survivor, you can find your ways to read articles about Survivor. You don't have to... There's always a way. You don't have to think that it needs to be on the front of the New York Times. So, all you have to do is go on Google and type in something. There are a lot of people that write about the show. So, you don't have to worry. Someone's always commenting and giving their input that you can read at any time, anywhere. Yeah.
No, but if they were a very in-depth article on the New York Times on Survivor on the front page, I'd be so excited. Where, to be honest with you, when I read the New York Times and all those news about, you know, J.P. Morgan and Syria, I don't care. You know what I mean? It seems so remote. And I mean, Syria? I don't know if that's you in a country. Is this real? Like, you doubt it a little bit. You know what I mean? Not to be mean, but come on. I gotta be honest. I don't give a shit about Syria. They can all die or kill each other. I mean, I know it's shallow, but what would be your reaction if tomorrow you see a big article on Colton on the front page of the New York Times? Would it be the best joke ever? With this picture in color and like a serious in-depth article, not some kind of lame, you know, report about the... Hold on. Oh, I'm sorry, I had to go check. Because I'm drying some clothes in a dryer so small that a sock doesn't even fit in. It's like a dryer for dolls. You know, like people who play, little girls who play with dolls. They always have a little oven and a little dryer. Well, that's what I have. So try to squeeze two sheets and 20 t-shirts in there. So it always breaks in the middle, so I had to go, I'm sorry. I had to push my... Because I sit in a supermarket cart, you know, that I open in the front. And I put some pillows in there, and that's my seat, because I can't find like a seat big enough. So I made a seat of the supermarket cart from Food Emporium. Sorry, Food Emporium. I took your Survivor card. See, I'm delusional. I don't make any sense. Because it's 3 in the morning. I don't understand why Shapi make us... So Shapi, forget about Survivor. Who cares? I hear that you've been visiting the Whitney Museum tonight. Oh my, my. You went to the Biennale with your grand lad. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about Forest Bess.
Yeah, so I went to the Whitney and they had this, they had the biennial, and Forest Bess was exhibiting, and he basically tried to turn himself into a hermaphrodite. Yeah, don't ask. So it's just a pretty messed up guy. But it's okay. His art was bad. Actually, most of the art was bad that was in there. But what are you gonna do? That thing gets worse and worse every year. And you just, it's just nothing you can do. So it's tough. Chapeau, what did you do on this Friday night?
Well, on Friday night, I went to Prince Street, which is not too far from Tribeca, where I live. And, you know, I have a little golf cart, you know, that I drive around a little bit when it's dark. And I have the fortune of going to Dino De Luca. You know, Dino De Luca has a store on Broadway and Prince, and I was able to go to the dumpster in the back because they put a lot of bags full of food, and I got so much food from Dino De Luca from the dumpster, and I dragged that back home, and I tried to go through, you know, what's rotten and, well, you know, what's a little bit squished or what, and what's delish. But some of it was good. I mean, come on, we throw out so much goods. But yeah, that was my night. Then I ate like an ogre. So anyway, so would you have a good memory of Survivor, Chapi? Like, this is a season that you... How does it compare with last season with Coach?
This season was so much better, I feel. Last season, I felt was so boring. They had the worst people. It was just uninteresting. It's just horrible. But this was a good season. It was a good mix of people, and I mean, obviously it could have been better, but it was definitely more watchable than last season. Thank God, because I probably would have stopped watching if it was worse than last season. What did you think of last season?
I liked last season. I was supportive of Coach. Can't believe that. I don't know why. But I like Coach. I don't know. Yeah, I think you're right. This season is better, but not that much. I don't know. I really, really didn't want Kim to win. But of course she did. It was very boring. And, yeah. Well, that's life. Yeah. Maybe it's time to go to bed now because you're pretty tired, Chapi. No? Hmm?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, today I was trying to figure out if anytime I go to the bathroom, I was wiping myself. And it looked like I missed a spot because it looked scratchy, a little bit itchy, if you want. So I kept on wiping and wiping and wiping. It's hard for me to put my arm back there because it's so big. But I thought some little turd was getting stuck there. I couldn't take it out, but Then I realized, so I tried to wipe it out with two rolls of papers. Spent hours, you know, clogging the toilet bowl and plunging and clogging. Oh, it was such a mess. And then I realized it wasn't a turd. It was a piece of hemorrhoid, maybe. Hemorrhoids, you know? No, it's a joke. It's not true. Come on. It's a joke. Because I can see you, Chappie. She's a Chappie listener, you should know. She's very exquisite and sophisticated. And I just saw her on Skype, because we do it through Skype. She was appalled by my joke. But maybe that's what was hanging out of Alicia's butt, with all those blur. Maybe it was like a big piece of hemorrhoid. Some people have long hemorrhoid, you know? Like little legs. Anyway, enough grossness. I was just trying to... you gross, I heard tonight on Twitter you were watching Superbad on TV. And you think this is gross? Come on, get out of town. Alright, so... what else can we talk about? I don't know. I think Survivor is just... I was very disappointed by the finale. I was very disappointed by the reunion. You know, I was hoping... We knew on Sunday night that Kim had won, although we hadn't seen the show yet, but we knew by the way people were treating Kim, where we were at, that she had won, and I was very defeated. I was still hoping that someone had put a fast one, but no, it was extremely disappointing. So you excited about The Apprentice on Sunday, Shappi?
Yeah. I've only seen one episode, but I'm pretty excited. Who do you want to win?
I think Clay Aiken is a bitch, so I'm going to root for Arsenio Hall. He's a little bit affected and always trying to please Mr. Trump, which drives me absolutely insane. How could you please that old shrew, that fat, monsterish, disgusting man, Donald Trump? But, you know, always trying to please him. Oh, Mr. Trump, if you make me the apprentice, I will carry the torch of your name to the end of my life. I mean, this guy is mentally ill. Hey, Shabby's falling asleep. All right, time to wrap it up. Good night, everybody. It was a wonderful show. This is the worst podcast ever. We have nothing to say. But good night. Have a wonderful life, whatever the fuck you do. And I hope everything is fine with everybody. What do you want to say? And pretty soon, join us on the new Survivor, a new episode of Losers from New York City. When Big Brother... Oh, I saw in real life Julie Chen from Big Brother yesterday. It was very fun. And she was with her husband, Les Moonves. She's so fat. She got so fat. Anyway. That gold-digging bitch, Julie Chen. Anyway, have a wonderful summer. Wonderful life. And I wish you the best. Shappi, any word? Any parting word?
Thanks for listening, if you're still there. And hopefully we'll see you back on listening to our Big Brother podcast in July. And that's it.